Thank you all for coming this morning. Quickly, I have to do a little commercial, so be patient. And ladies, don't leave unless you have to. These two missionary sisters will bless you. I've been acquainted with them for a long, long time. And in fact, I was acquainted with one of them before she was married, when she was just a kid. And you'll enjoy these ladies. They're excellent speakers and both good warriors for the Lord. Now, some of you in years past purchased three books that I wrote entitled The First Person, Second Person, Third Person. Those books sold for $8.95 each, $27. The publishers put them in one large volume of 600 pages at half the price that you paid for them when you bought all three. That's the best dollar value in the bookstore. Hardback 600-page book. Now, if you purchase that book while I'm here, you may take any one of the 15 tapes that are out there on the table. Don't take the rubber band off the package, because each bundle with a rubber band, they're the same title. So just remove the one you want, and underneath the top one, the same titles. So you get a free tape today. So you have a book for the bookworms and a tape for the tapeworms. And you can make your choice. Now that's free. That's great. Now those tapes are for sale. And you can get four of them for $10, 15 different titles. Then there are some albums out there. And these albums, they're six tapes, 12 studies, and they've been selling regularly for $25. Now, they're making new albums, not changing the tapes, just the albums. And the reason why, you will notice, they've had my high school graduation picture on there for so long. And they're getting new albums, not the tapes. Tapes won't be changed, but the albums. And would you believe it? The $25 album, $15. Can't take any orders. And just first there, first serve. There are three different titles, all on prophetic themes. Now open your Bible to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Today we are going to begin a study on the names of God in the Old Testament. Now, this book, the first, second, and third person, is the textbook. I'll be using it, for in that book you will find the names of God and more than we'll be able to cover during these days. So if you want to do some reading and studying on this subject, on the book called The Godhead, you will find the series on the names of God. Now, let us pray. Loving Father, we are very thankful that it has pleased Thee to get us a fresh start on a new day. Safely through the night, Thou hast brought us on our way. And we thank Thee for another opportunity which we believe has come from Thee, an opportunity to be alive and to share with others. God, help us to bring hope and help and happiness to someone along the pathway today. Meet our needs as we study Thy Word. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Your Bible is open to Psalm 19. This week we are going to consider a subject. You can put it in the form of a question. What is God like? Or you can put it in an exclamatory statement, knowing God. There are some popular books out. J.I. Packer has a book on knowing God. One of the Hans, I think Richard, has written a book on knowing God. Richard has an excellent book on the attributes of God called The Joy of Knowing God. And these books are popular today because there are people who want to know what God is like. Can I really get to know God? Now, your Bible is open to Psalm 19. This will be an introductory study this morning. We're going to get ready for the names of God. Whether we get to the first primary name for God this morning, only time will tell. But this will be a foundational study for our series throughout the week on the names of God in the Old Testament. In Psalm 19, it opens with how God can be known through His works, the works of God. This is a familiar psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. That's clear. What's it say? Creation reveals God. They speak. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Whose voice? The voice of the heavens and the earth, God's creation. So that God has revealed Himself in His works. Verse 4 says, their line has gone out through all the earth. Even a pagan can look up at night, see the moon and the stars, see the sun in the morning, and has to believe that behind it all, there is some supreme power, some supreme being. So that the works of God do reveal God. Now, there's only a limited knowledge in His works. We agree to that. But if that's all we had, that would be sufficient to say to man, hey, there's somebody behind the scene. It didn't just happen. So you see God in His works in the first part of Psalm 19. Then you will notice, beginning with verse 7, you will see God revealed in His words. Now I'm putting it plural. Usually we refer to the Bible as the Word of God. But you must remember that the Bible made up of books. The books have been divided into chapters. The chapters have been divided into verses, and the verses are made up of words, plural. The words of God. I have a reason for calling them the words of God. You folks are acquainted with 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture, every scripture, every word written, every writing is God-breathed. I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. The original manuscripts, the words are inspired of God. The Lord Jesus said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now are you going to see in Psalm 19 a revelation of God, first in His works, secondly, in His words, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, these are the words of God. I want you to notice, you might want to mark them in your Bible, the various terms used for the Scriptures. Verse 7, the law of the Lord. Verse 7, the testimony of the Lord. That's a term. You'll find all these in 119 Psalm, by the way. The testimony of the Lord. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord. Verse 8 again, the commandments of the Lord. Verse 9, the judgments of the Lord. All these terms, law, testimony, statutes, commandments, judgments, these are terms all referring to the written Word of God. So what the psalmist is saying is God reveals Himself in His works. Now that is the first disclosure of God. The Scriptures are a further disclosure of God. In other words, when the Bible was given, there's a larger, greater revelation of God. So we get to know God through His works, and we get to know Him better through His words. Now we have the first and further disclosure of God. But there is a final disclosure of God. And now you will know why I call the Scriptures the words of God, not merely the Word of God. Not the Word of God is correct. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that takes in the whole of the Scripture, the whole body of truth. But remember that the Word of God is made up of the words of God. So we find now a revelation of God, a disclosure of God. The first disclosure is in His works. The further disclosure is in His words, plural. Now the final disclosure is in His Word, singular, with the capital W. John 1:1. In the beginning was not the what. In the beginning was the whom, class? The Word. And you will notice John's the only one who uses that word, Word, as one of the more than 200 names and titles of our Lord to be found in the Bible. And it's always in a capital W in the uppercase. That's a proper noun. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. That's the final revelation about Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in or through his Son. Jesus Christ is the final revelation of God. And before we get down to the heart of our study, this is just preliminary now, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. This is just a refresher now. We can't get too much of the Bible. You can't get too much Bible. Dear woman said to me, she said, I spend a lot of time watching TV evangelists. Well, maybe some of that could be time well spent, but if we spent as much time in the Word of God as we spend watching TV evangelists, we'll grow spiritually. TV evangelists have different opinions, different ideas, different doctrines. Don't count on any of us men. Only when we are opening the Holy Scriptures and giving you a thus saith the Lord. Now, in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, sometime read through this and just mark the word Father. Mark the word Father. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. And just keep on reading down, and then you come to verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Mark the word Father. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. And Philip got fed up with this Father business. And he asked an intelligent question of the Lord Jesus in verse 8. He said, Lord, he's been talking about the Father. Show us the Father. Show us the Father, and that'll satisfy us. That sufficeth us. Well, that's an intelligent question. He's been talking about the Father. Who is he? Where is he? What is he like? And the Lord Jesus answered, he said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's the final revelation of God. Now we're coming back to the further revelation of God in the Scriptures. How can we get to know God? Well, there are a number of ways that we can get to know God, but we're going to examine the names of God. Now, the nature of God is revealed in the names of God. And interestingly enough, the Bible student will discover, as he or she continues to read and study the Bible, that associated with each name of God, there is some representation of the many-sided nature of God, or the attributes of God. There are many attributes of God, qualities and characteristics which only God has. God is sovereign. God is eternal. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God is omnipresent, present in all places. God is omniscient, having all knowledge. He is all-knowing. These are attributes of deity that we humans do not have. And interestingly enough, with each of the Old Testament names of God, you will find one of the attributes of God. So as we study the names of God, we get to know him. Now I must warn you, dear friends, and myself also, that it is possible to get to know about God intellectually and academically, but not get to know him experientially. there is a difference. There is a difference. As I said on Sunday, and I repeat, there are some 40,000 people in America who have a PhD degree who are unemployed and cannot get a job. That PhD means they reach the peak of classroom learning. That degree means something, but they don't know how to use it. Experientially, they can't make it. Now, we Christians can have a lot of head knowledge about God, and we can feel proud of our doctrinal knowledge about God, an intellectual comprehension of God, but not get to know Him experientially. And these studies are designed, beloved, to bring us into an intimate fellowship with God. We want to know Him, not merely about Him. Someone asked me if I knew President Bush. No, I don't. I know some things about him. But I read. I see him on television. I catch something of his personality. But I don't know him. And I fear that there are too many of us among God's people who know about God, and we're rather proud of our biblical knowledge, but somehow it is not translated into everyday practical Christian experience. The intimate fellowship with God is missing. So that our goal in these studies is not merely to get to know Him intellectually, academically, but that we might come to know Him experientially. Don't you want to get to know Him better? Don't you have a desire to enter into more of what He has for us in this life? We're missing so much. We're asking God for things He has already given to us because we don't know Him experientially. Now, it's very important that we begin our study with the names of God because names are important. When I was a boy, my father had different names for me. My nickname was Rabbit. In eighth grade, I won the track meet for the fastest runner in the eighth grade. There was no kid who could beat me in the eighth grade. And I have a certificate to prove that. Well, I can still find it. I don't know where it is now, but I know I had one. And because I could run like a rabbit, my dad nicknamed me Rabbit. Now, when he called me Rabbit, I knew he was in a light mood. He was feeling good. He said, "Hi, Rabbit, how are you doing?" I knew Dad was feeling good. Then sometimes he would call me Son. When he said Son, he was on a more serious note. But when he said Young Man, each of those names had a different connotation. And growing up under my dad, I got to know him through those names he gave to me. Mother had names. One of her favorites, and don't you call it to me either, was Sonny. Oh, when Mother said Sonny, oh, she was tender, and I enjoyed that. But I can remember the first time I was caught lying to my mother. I was 7 years old, and the tears coming down Mother's face, and she said, "Layman, Layman." Why two Laymans? My name wasn't Layman, Layman. But that was Mother's way of expressing something in her heart. When she said, "Layman, Layman, you've lied to Mother." And my mother said, "Layman, Layman," with that tone of voice, she was hurt. Now, you can see from this simple illustration that there is something in names. And we're going to look at the names of God. And the reason why I feel this is important is because there's an awful lot in a name, dear friend. I wouldn't want to die and leave behind a bad name. That frightens me. At my age and stage of life, my daily prayer is, "God, help me. Please, Lord, help me today not to do anything or say anything that would leave a bad testimony against Your name and my name. have some children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Be a terrible thing. There's a lot in a name. And God's name is His honor. Now we're going to look at some of the names of God. By the way, there are names for other personalities in the Bible. Satan has different names. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the deceiver. And each one of those names, the Holy Spirit has different names. In Isaiah chapter 11, there's seven names of the Holy Spirit in one verse. The Lord Jesus has many names. More than 200. God has many names. Now we're going to look at one of the primary names of God. In the King James Version of the Bible, the names of God are distinguished by the use of the printer's type. Now that's simple. The printer's type. For example, you will find the word God spelled two different ways. Is that a typographical error? No. If they were careful, now there might be some typographical errors, but sometimes you will find the word God spelled with a capital G, a small O, and a small D. Then you will find the word God in your Bible with all capital letters. Capital G, capital O, capital D. That's not a printer's mistake, my dear friend. It is by the printer's type, when the King James Version of the Bible was put together, that we are aided in understanding God. And so the distinguishing mark in your King James Bible is the printer's type. I'm going to give you the primary names of God. Just give them to you and put them in your notes, and you'll get a further study in the book, The Godhead. And that book will be, I'm sure, a great blessing to you. First of all, the primary name for God is the word God with a capital G, a small O, and small D. That's the first primary name for God. The second primary name for God is the word Lord, with a capital L, small O, small R, small D. Got that? Now, you can find those names with all capital letters. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Then you'll find them in linked together. Lord God. That's a compound name. So the three primary names for God are God and Lord God. Then there are some compound names for God. You find the word God or Jehovah preceding another term. For example, you're familiar with the term Jehovah Jireh, Genesis chapter 22, or Jehovah Nissi, Exodus chapter 17, or Jehovah Shalom, Judges chapter 6. These are compound names. Jehovah, that's the Lord with all capital letters, and then a compound name describing Him. Each one of those names has a special meaning. And when you find it in the context in which it appears in your Bible, a great truth will open up unto you. And you can get to know Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Nissi, God's fighting name. Or Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. We look at some of the compound names for God. Now, we're going to turn to page 1 in the Bible. Now, by the way, there's a tape out there among those 15 titles of tapes. One is called page 1 in your Bible. Did you know the Genesis chapter 1 is one of the most important chapters in your Bible? Get to master Genesis chapter 1, you'll have less problems with what follows. Page 1 in your Bible. Now let's all turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at this first primary name for God. The first primary name for God. Throughout the first chapter, that is the only name for God in the King James Version. Capital G, small O, small D. In the beginning, God. Now the word for God spelled with a capital G, small O, small D, and I know that some of you have had studies like this, is the word Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim. That is God's official title. The Bible opens with that particular name for God. Elohim. Now, where do we get this word Elohim? Well, E-L means strength, might, power. And the Ohim is a part of Allah, Hebrew meaning to swear, to make a covenant. Elohim, E-L, strength, power, Allah, Ohim, the faithful one. So the name Elohim, literally translated, is the strong, faithful one, or the strong, faithful God. Now, this is always associated first with God's creation. In order for God to create, there would have to be strength, power. In the beginning, God, Elohim, Elohim, the strong, faithful one, created the heavens and the earth. Now, you read on down. And God said, verse 4, and God saw. Verse 5, and God called. Verse 6, and God said. Now, when you get into chapter 2 of Genesis, you don't find the repetition of the word Elohim. You will find a compound name in chapter 2. We'll get to that a little later. Here now we have this word Elohim. Now, this is a Hebrew plural, so that you can read Genesis 1:1 without doing any damage to the text. In the beginning, the tri-personal God created the heavens and the earth. The tri-personal God. Now, in Hebrew, three make the plural. But here, in our English language, two make the plural. One is singular, two is plural. The Hebrew plural has three. In the beginning, the tri-personal God created the heavens and the earth. So you can see in the name Elohim, you can see the Holy Trinity. Now, all three persons in the Godhead were active in creation. The Jesus of the New Testament is the Elohim of the Old Testament. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The Jesus of the new is the Elohim of the old. And what about the Holy Spirit? Was He active in creation? Well, it's right there in verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So at the very beginning of your Bible, you meet Elohim, the Hebrew plural, the tri-personal God. Of course, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. There are many terms that are not in the Bible that theologians have coined to convey great Bible truth, and we're grateful for these terms if they're properly explained. Now, I cannot explain the Trinity, really. I can illustrate it, but if you're not saved, you still won't grasp it. It'll boggle your mind. And there's so much about it that I don't know and never will know until I get to heaven. But H2O is a common illustration. You turn the tap on your faucet at home, and water comes out. Put it in the freezing compartment of your freezer, and it becomes ice. Same H2O. Or take it out of the tap and put it in your tea kettle, put it on the stove, and let it boil, and the steam comes out of the spout. Same H2O. I can't explain that. You have a trinity there. You have the liquid, you have steam, you have that. It's all H2O. A simple illustration. Beyond that, I cannot go. Simply to say that throughout the whole of the Word of God, the tri-personal God is in evidence. And all three persons in the Godhead possess all of the essential and unique attributes of deity, without which either person in the Godhead would cease to be God. So we're meeting with the Trinity, if you please. The Hebrew plural, the tri-personal God. Now, the word Allah means to swear or to make a covenant. To swear or to make a, not to use bad language, but to give a pledge, a covenant. And we read in the scriptures that God swore, didn't use bad language. He simply gave an oath. He gave his word. He pledged himself. That's the meaning of this word, Allah. So you have two attributes of God in the word Elohim. First, you have the attribute of omnipotence, the strong God who created the heavens and the earth. Omnipotence. Then you have the attribute of faithfulness. That famous song we sing so often, Great is thy faithfulness, that was written on the basis of Lamentations chapter 3. Great is thy faithfulness. The word faithful is a verbal adjective, which means dependable, reliable, trustworthy. The God who created the universe, the omnipotent God, is the faithful God who controls it. He's the creator, strong, faithful one, the one who holds it together. The creator is the controller of the universe. Now, all of this is seen in this Hebrew word Elohim. El, strength, power. Allah, to swear, to make a covenant. And I rest in that. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. By him all things consist. They hold together. Beloved, the God who created it is the God who controls it. I read where a scientist, not a Christian, but a scientist said, there are people on the earth who may be here when the universe runs out of power. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. The God who created it is the faithful God who controls it. And as long as man is on planet Earth, God will never run out of power here. My confidence is in Elohim, the strong, faithful one. And that's all wrapped up in that Hebrew word Elohim. El, strength, power. Allah, to swear, to make a covenant. The two attributes of God, his omnipotence. Now the word omnipotence is made up of a Latin prefix, omni, which means all, and potent, meaning power. Omnipotence simply is all power. God has all power. El. And Allah, God has given his word. He's controlling the universe. So I rest in all of that. Oh, there are floods and famines and weather conditions that we can't explain, but God knows what he's doing. In the book of Amos chapter 4, God said, when there's a flood, I sent it. And when there's a drought, I sent it. God controls the weather. God controls the weather. He knows what he's doing. God's never taken by surprise. The weather, man, what's their official title? Oh, forecasters, that's as simple as the one I use. Meteorologists, that's the stuff. A couple of you are really awake this morning and paying attention here. The meteorologists, you know why the meteorologists cannot make accurate predictions? I'm serious now. They may not know it. I think most of them do know it. You see, the weather conditions depend upon the movement of the winds. That's right. And they can never predict at what second the wind will change its course. The Lord Jesus said that in the Gospel according to John chapter 3, explaining the new birth, the mystery of the new birth. He said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The mystery of the new birth. There is mystery attached to it. The Lord Jesus said so. He said, you hear the wind, you don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going. So you get a weather report, fair and milder. And if you live up north, the next morning, You get your snow shovel out and shovel off 8 inches of fair and milder. You say, the meteorologist doesn't know his business. Oh, yes, he does. But he couldn't control the change of the wind. Beloved, God is in control. And that snow blizzard did not take God by surprise. Amen? This is the God we worship. Get to know Him experientially. His sovereignty. That He is behind the scenes. Controlling the scenes He is behind. We cannot run out of power. Elohim created and controls His universe. He is the strong one, the faithful one, omnipotent. He's a God of integrity. He's trustworthy. You can count on Him. Elohim. The only name for God on page 1 in your Bible. Now we use some time for the foundation. It's 10:15, time for prayer, and we're going to continue our study in the Hebrew names of God. And you want to get your Godhead book. Don't wait until they're gone, and your free tape, and then your bargain album. And can't take any orders because the high school graduation pictures will all be gone, and can't get them now. Let us pray.